Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
A struggle with clinical depression involves dealing with constant feelings of uncontrollable guilt, shame, and hopelessness. Treatment generally means daily medication that can be wholly or partially effective. Every person is different. When a woman becomes pregnant, there is concern about any substance taken into the body. Soon-to-be moms swear off drinking and smoking if they can, and closely regard the special side effects of any drug for pregnant women. But pregnancy itself writes new rules for the body and mind, including a powerful form of pregnancy-induced depression, which manifests itself differently because every person is different. An impending birth brings with it fears and anxieties, raises concern for the mentally ill over whether their medications will affect the developing child. Andrew Solomon, author of The Noonday Demon, An Atlas of Depression, has written a piece for the New York Times Sunday Magazine that will be part of the reissue of his book next week. It's all about the complexities and anxieties of women during pregnancy. Andrew, welcome.
What a pleasure to be here.
This is a real puzzle. Describe how concern over medications and drugs and fetus health intertwined with a clinical depression in a particularly tragic story in your piece.
Well, nobody wants to take medication while pregnant, but being depressed while pregnant also carries enormous risks. I've opened the chapter with a story that really compelled me to write more about this, of a woman who had heard that antidepressants were not good for the developing fetus, had a lifetime of dealing with depression, went off her medication thinking she would just white-knuckle it through 9 months, became obsessed with an irrational idea that there was something wrong with her baby, even though every sign was that the fetus was developing just fine, became more and more depressed. Her family kept saying to her, "Don't you think you should go back on medication? You seem not to be in good shape." When she was 6.5 months pregnant, she jumped to her death from the top of the building where her parents lived.
And part of the tragedy here is the family watches this spiral down, and you know, people hold their breath and cross their fingers because there is a sort of indeterminacy about depression, and particularly about depression during pregnancy. You don't really know necessarily where you are.
The risk of medications during pregnancy has been amply documented, and people who search for pregnancy and antidepressants online will frequently find articles which describe the potential downside. And there is a potential downside. I don't want to underplay that. But it's harder to find the information about the dangers of pregnancy itself, depression during pregnancy itself. People who are depressed during pregnancy may have constriction of the uterine artery attached to rising levels of stress hormones that limits the flow of blood to the fetus and to the placenta. They may be more likely to have miscarriages. They may be more likely to have premature birth. They may be likely to have all kinds of other problems. The biggest problem, though, is that we've recognized that postpartum depression is very dangerous for a baby, that a mother who's too depressed to take care of her baby ends up with a baby who's traumatized in various ways. And a full half of postpartum depression begins during pregnancy. And so if you don't address it during pregnancy, the long-term negative effects can go well beyond how someone feels during pregnancy and into her ability to take care of her child.
And putting aside the health of the fetus for a moment, I mean, it is the case that depression is hazardous to your health. I mean, the mom needs to be very concerned about these kinds of patterned feelings during a pregnancy.
The mom does. And of course, depression tends to be a recurrent condition. And with each repeated episode, it gets harder to treat. And so someone who is white-knuckling it through pregnancy may develop such an acute depression that she ends up having to deal with it for the rest of her life. And the mother often gets erased in this conversation. What's best for the baby? What's best for the baby? As one remarkable clinician, Betsy Fiddleson, said to me, it's a mistake to treat the baby and the mother at this point as two separate people. It's a system, and we have to treat the system.
And you know, I said in the introduction that pregnancy itself writes new rules for the body and mind. Is that overstating a situation that we are told is all about shifting hormones and the kinds of things that clinical depression medications attempt to regulate?
Pregnancy, of course, involves enormous hormonal shifts. And there are some women who feel their best during pregnancy, and there are some women who feel their worst during pregnancy. There's now a theory that some women are what's called hormonally sensitive, that they're more likely to develop depression in response to adolescence, in response to their monthly cycle, in response to pregnancy or childbirth or menopause. When you look overall, because some women are very depressed and some women are very exuberant in pregnancy, you get statistics that show that there isn't a big effect on mental health.
You've used the term white knuckle it a couple of times, which really is a sort of reverse depiction of the stigma of mental illness, that somehow a mom is supposed to tough it out in situations that are clearly adverse to her health. And I'm wondering if that comes with this issue of depression. Oh, come on now.
I didn't meet anyone.
No, not that you would say that, but that, right. That's a prevailing notion.
I didn't meet any woman in the course of this research who didn't want to put her baby first, who wasn't trying to do what would be best for the baby. What they didn't recognize was that for them to fall apart was also not good for the baby, and that if they were putting the baby first, in some instances, the best way to do that was by putting themselves first. A mother who's depressed is not helping her child.
But the message mothers typically get is, come on now, you know, hang in there, you know, everyone else does.
The message depressed people get is, come on and pull yourself together. I think we've recognized that there are a lot of brain mechanisms and other mechanisms attached to depression. And the first thing we need to do is not blame women who become depressed during pregnancy. And the second thing we need to do is give them access to whatever treatment there is that will help them. And if they can be helped by talk therapy or if they can be helped by mindfulness training, they should pursue any other option before medication if they can. But if they need the medication, they need to talk to a doctor and weigh up what are the risks of the medication and what are the risks of becoming depressed and try to make a decision that's right for them and for the child.
Andrew Solomon is the author of The Noonday Demon, An Atlas of Depression. The book will be reissued next week with a new chapter on pregnancy and depression. That chapter is excerpted in the Sunday New York Times Magazine. Andrew, thanks so much.
What a pleasure.